tell you like if they're gonna make me any money right now. Maybe they probably make me what 20 cents from how many thousands of dollars I spent. But the focus is not the money. The focus is building them as an artist and creating that image that they so long for. But the thing is, Sierra Leonean artists don't want to do the work. It's as simple as that. That's what I've noticed. They want the look, they want the statue, they want the image, but they don't want to do the work behind it. They think what they see on TV is how it goes. You just blow up all of a sudden and you my real name is Ibrahim Kaba. I'm from Sierra Leone, West Africa. I go by the artist name IKSNM. The IK standing for my first and last name initials, and the SNM stands for my record label that I've founded. With the that's the SNM acronym. The full name is Skinny Nigga Music, but we'll get into that. The other company I have is my basically handyman company I've started that I want to actually scale out by next year. It's called Melodic Hands, and it kind of plays all together really, because I want to bring all this to West Africa and specifically Sierra Leone and create some type of avenue towards these jobs.
It's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, I have IKSNM Ibrahim. He's here. He's going to give us the game. You saw in the intro, he talked about his music, controversial record label, right? He also talked about his other music or his other venture in, repair and maintenance. But I'm going to tell you, this young man, I've also seen him on the runway. So I am going to call him a model because he was modeling for real. He was out there. And when you put in time on these gun jobs, for those who are listening, you can't see. When you put the time in, you got to get the acknowledgement and give those folks that love while you can.
Sure,
But
sure, sure.
IK, man, what's going on with you, my bro?
I'm good, brother. How about yourself, man?
Blessed by the best and not stressed at all. Let's get into it right now because I know, the elders, it might have been your uncle, it might have been your mother, your father, whomever, when you told them the name of your record label, and then started putting out lit music. You guys, links are in the description. You can go check out all his stuff. When you start putting out lit music and, different just things, give the people why you named it that and what type of pushback have you had, especially in the Sierra Leone community, as well as maybe in America?
I didn't really get into, like, let's say when I was younger, my father, he's a reggae artist, so I have a couple artist backgrounds, family members and stuff. But me, I wasn't really into music, but I loved listening to music though, and I loved like writing lyrics. Sometimes I would listen to songs and write my own lyrics, and but never really focused on music until, let's say, around 2018, 2019, my friends and I would have like I would have my basically I was the one that started it, but then they, jumped in. They saw it was cool what I was doing, the process. I would have a laptop, a speaker, have my phone in, plug it into the speaker, make the beat, and have GarageBand on my iPhone and record it and mix it in there. It sounded really cool, and then put them on SoundCloud. That's really how I started. And then one of my friends and I, I just started calling myself a skinny nigga in the raps that I was doing, those cover songs. And I'm a skinny nigga. So then it just for me, it sounded odd, but it sounded like this could be an interesting name for a label, especially because I wanted to start a label at that moment. I was having ideas. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call my label Skinny Nigga Music from now on. And that's just really how it started.
Well, I know, well, give us also the pushback, because I know from Sierra Leone to America, there's so many people can find a debate in everything. You as an artist, you see things as I'm creating, and there's something behind that, like a Tupac, like a, you can even anybody you want to mention, right? I'm just gonna stay on Pac real quick. But you know, give the pushback that you got and what people don't understand in why you're naming something so controversial, like, and what you've had to go through. Because I could see pushback in Sierra Leone and pushback here in America, folks, saying, why are you doing that?
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, you know, in life, like, you can't get the full everybody, you know, agreeing with what you're doing or the same vision as you. So with the nigga in there, you know, obviously I didn't spell it out the how that would be spelled out. I made it a Q, skinny nigga music, you know. So in a way, it's kind of like hidden message in there in my eyes. It's like, yeah, we not that word of racism, but that word of, like, you know how gangsters call themselves, but we're not like full on gangsters, but we have that attitude, that charisma about us. Anybody that's in the label, of course, you don't have to be skinny, but there's been some people, like some ministers in the Sierra Leone community that I've reached out to, spoken to. They love the idea, but then when I brought up the name, they, you know, they kind of stepped back and like, oh no, we don't like this kind of name. You need to change it. And I'm trying to explain to them, like, no, this is the vision. Like, that your age bracket and my age bracket is quite different. I'm pretty sure my age bracket would accept this name and the brand that I'm bringing full on 100% without any recourse. But maybe yours might take time to. But once they see that we stand for good, you know, they probably come in. But right now, what they see and what we see is different. So I really just, after those kind of pushbacks here in the U.S., I haven't really been putting out the brand like that, because I'm trying to make sure I have a solid foundation to start off of. I don't want to just say I have a label and then I have artists and then we're just putting out music without really getting results that we need, because I myself as an artist need results. You know, I want to scale my artist brand, you know, so that's the same thing I want to do for the label and the artist in there. So I don't want to just have a label and then have artists put out songs with no listeners, no way of growing or anything like that. So I haven't really been saying anything here in the US, more so in Africa, because I know that's where I want to have more impact. But the older generation and people haven't really been helpful. It's mostly been the youths that have been on the ride. So, which is okay, because that's what we want, actually. You know, we want to empower our youths to be creative and think like our neighboring countries. You know, our minds need to be challenged, and creativeness at this moment right now, from what I'm seeing, it needs to be challenged and it needs to improve in the country, because we have many, many talents. We have so many talented kids that if they have the platform that we're creating right now, they can definitely get up to Grammy level.
Man, I'm feeling you on names. You know, they have meanings, and the controversy always can win. It can also cost you. Someone like Killer Mike talks about this often, how they say, just change your name and you'll be good. And it's cost him probably millions, if not tens of millions of dollars. But now he's doing stuff in politics, right? And he's able to use, it's that name. And people know Killer Mike is not out there killing folks. Very, you know, intelligent. The father, I believe, was a police officer. And, you know, he comes off as one of the actually thinkers in the industry. And so once we get past the name and even some of the lyrics, now let's push back. Now I got to push back and ask you, because, you know, when listening to the music, I'm from that 80s, 90s era where our music wasn't clean. So we can't be hypocrites. Mm. But now while we get these grays and things start to, you know, go back on our hairlines, we start listening and say, nah, we don't want that for the small Peking. We don't want that for the youth. And talk about your music can come hard. And do you find pressure of having what they call relevant, whether it's drill, whether it's Afro beats? Do you feel like I have to do this music? Because now people are like, but y'all ain't, if you ain't living that, which I don't want to put pressure on you like that to live your music, because anybody can kill. The military teaches us that. Anybody can be a killer. Anybody can be a crook. You know, most of them are in politics, in government. But talk about like how, you know, your music impacts your life and what you're doing. Is it real life? Is it, you know, I'm like Pac. I'm telling everybody else's story. What's the game?
So my music really, like, it's a mix of everything, to be honest. But I mainly try not to focus on my life events into my music. But words are powerful. Words are magic. It's something, it's unexplainable. If I write something that's about my life, there's been some songs that, obviously, as an artist, you have to be wired with your creation. I always allow myself to be free and open. I don't force myself to make songs. Sometimes I can go weeks and not write anything and just listen to my previous songs. And sometimes I can write three songs in one day. So it's all me. For me, it's all about the feeling and experience. Some songs I've written out of pure imagination, of just imagining a scenario, sort of like a story or a movie, and I'm able to put that into words. Now, how, I'm not able to explain, because it's just something I'm used to. Like I said, since I was young, I've been writing lyrics without really writing songs, just lyrics. So I'm used to writing like kind of poetry, you know, not just songwriting poetry, also poetry of itself. In terms of life events, I've written songs that end up coming to be true and happening to me. And I'm like, wow, music is really like relative. Music is life. Whatever artists sing about, eventually it's happened before in life, or it's gonna happen. It's really like predictions. That's what music is. So these words are very, very powerful. Right now, from the rap, I've been transitioning to more of Afro beats, because I have a new genre that I'm trying to create called Afro Creole. Because, as you know, in Sai Salon, we get Creole, and Creole sweets for talk, honestly. I go like for you more of this kind of Creole blended into the new type of age music, because I feel like it will bring we far. But we need that type of creativity and artistry way that can put us in a standard where it won't be too lukewarm. Right now, honestly, I'm not hinting on anyone, but the artists there are not up par to what I feel like our standard should be. It's been too many years that they should have been developing. Instead, they focused on each other and looking at each other's creativity instead of focusing on yourself and creating your own vision. Because I don't follow people. I don't follow the recent genres or drills. I barely listen to recent songs, you know, but I have flew of older songs. I'm more of a older generation type. You know, I listen to from the 1960s up until 2000s, rhythms, rock music, Metallica, thrash metal, all kinds of songs. So my head with music is all around, you see. So I don't have a specific genre that I follow. I just create whatever vibe I feel within that type of beat or lyrics. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, that's a newer thing, because I remember when, you know, if you rapped, you rapped, and you didn't go do R&B, you didn't sing, you couldn't do acting like, you know, you can now. So that just lets me know how I've seen things evolve in time. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about, too, you know, when doing Afro Creole, and Creole in Sierra Leone is funny, because my wife is from Cameroon. And so people say, you speak Creole. She's like, pigeon is pigeon. What are you talking about? Right. And a lot of people out who haven't been to Sierra Leone or are not connected to the country, they'll be like, OK, I can understand some of it. But to do Afro Creole, if you're really taking a pay cut to focus on Salon, to say, I want to do this for Salon, because of the rest of the world, they're going to have to catch up. We're seeing Afro beats now, and you would think everybody spoke pidgin the way you hear it on the radio certain markets. But people half the time don't know what they're talking about. They just like the beat and how it flows. But you're willing to take you're putting on for Salon and the rest of West and Central Africa to focus on the Creole for that. you rather be, it sounds like, an artist in Africa and be known rather than have, you know, everything here in America. Talk about that and why that is.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm not really, like, saying I'm focused specifically on Salon. But the thing is, that's where I'm representing. That's where my brand wants to, like, let's say, like a son that's traveled out of Sierra Leone to go and look for better pastures and then gets what he wants and comes back to his homeland to make things better. That's kind of like the concept that I have here. It's not so much that I want to just focus and be an artist in Sierra Leone and be like, oh, this is a Sierra Leonean artist. No, my music is worldwide. That's why my genre, the Afro Creole, is for Sierra Leone, like as if Nigeria has their Afro Pigeon type, South Africa has like house music, you know, different countries have their little specific songs. So if I can create that type of genre for Sierra Leone and then my music be that type of up there, I believe that that kind of genre can travel. And our other artists that know, Mende, Timini, they can also blend it within these type of songs and create some type of buzz for our country. You know, through that, maybe other artists can create different ideas through inspirations from these songs. Here in America, I started off with rap, but like I said, America's catching up with Afro beats now, and people are starting to, you know, get attention to it. So, which gives me the go-ahead to know that this will be something that can be welcomed. It's not going to be frowned upon anymore, because now people are actually open to songs. As long as it's catchy and, you know, it's trending, they're willing to listen to it. Here, you're, like you're saying, they're just saying stuff they don't even know what they're saying, because it's repetitive music. It's repetitive stimulation of good sound and good vibes within those words, even if they don't know what they're saying. So if we can make the Creole sound in a way, it's vibing in the club, it's vibing on the radio, it's vibing on your speakers in the car, even if they don't understand this Creole, they can still follow that artist. Remember now, it's all about branding. So if we can brand the label, brand the artist, these words don't really matter as long as the vibe goes with it. Afro Creole can be something.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your opinion on a lot of folks on the continent say, if you want to be an African artist, you need to make music here. We need to see you. I've heard it from some promoters for decades. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I don't see, I can't think of a great video from Salon that was shot in Salon. And I'm going to have some of my friends call me because they go to Dubai to go shoot their movie, their thing. So they come to America. And I know, you know, what do you think about that? Like, can you be an African artist while being abroad?
I can't be an African artist and be abroad, of course not. So the main goal is to be in Africa at least 50 to 60% of the time. Because yes, that's the genre and the crowd that you're representing. So of course you have to be amongst them the most to get that kind of feel and inspiration to relate with them. But at the same time, I'm kind of different because most of my years I've grown up outside of Africa. So my mindset and vision is quite different than an African artist, a typical African artist, I would say. But then again, I'm not too different because I've been in the game with them. I've kept up with them. I've traveled to other different African countries. So I understand their own concept, maybe not exactly like them, because I've noticed the way they write their lyrics and songs is quite different than me. Mine can probably be like a lot of different idioms and meanings and different things in there and storytelling, and theirs could be just vibe songs, vibe lyrics, as long as it, you know, they can relate. It's not really a specific story within, like, you know how back then songs actually had meanings in their lyrics. Now it's just like lukewarm lyrics and nice beats and people just dancing and enjoying to their vibe. So it's quite different for me. I have that American background. I've been to Asia, so I kind of understand how they rap over there. I have that background. Most of my producers, like, they're all young. I don't have older generation producers. There's one in South Africa, so he gives me South African vibes. There's one in Sierra Leone, I get that kind of vibes. I have rapper friends here that I grew up with and since middle school that gives me hip hop and R&B vibes. And another producer that gives me like rock, thrash metal, EDM type vibes. So it always keeps my head like focused and open on different genres. If today I'm focused on Afro beats, it's Afro beats. If today it's rock or pop, it's rock or pop. And being that I play guitar too, so that helps me with keeping my genre open enough. I say Afro Creole because I blend Creole in there in a way. Like, let me give you an acapella, right? There's one is Salon Baby, this song. So, you not me number one. For you loving, I go all I can. I just wanna love you like no other man. Me and you love them, no go understand. So like that can be vibe too without having to really understand what I'm saying. But you would be so interested in the tune that you would actually go and figure out what these lyrics mean, right? That's Afro, yeah. That's Creole right there, but any other person would think it's type of a pigeon, like Nigerian pigeon or something. You wouldn't know that that's specifically Creole. But that's the vibe that we want to create for ourselves in Sierra Leone, a way we can be open enough, but keep that standard. Because the type of song I'm hearing from Sierra Leone aren't interesting, to be honest. As an artist, I have to be honest with my fellow artists. I don't want to hate. And this is where I've been low-key for now, because I don't want to have that type of introduction and debut where everybody's putting eyes on me because I've said the truth. So I kind of really just rather keep the truth to myself and build my own way in a way where I have enough of influence to make a change without having to say all those things about them. But I feel like the way I do the Afro Creole might be the next big thing.
Oh, for sure,
Africa
for
as
sure.
A whole, not just Sierra Leone.
But, and let's make sure, as an artist, that's the way you're supposed to think. You're supposed to think what I'm creating is the dopest. Comedians do it, artists, all type of artists. I don't need to hear your stuff. So him saying that isn't saying that nobody's doing nothing. It's just that we can always go to the next level and set a new standard.
You step up.
Now, stepping up, and you've talked about some real money. You talked about traveling, you know, around the world. So people listen to this and say, oh man, he fell Bush. He's been all over the world. What does he know about my struggle though, right? And everybody's struggle is different. Sierra Leone, if we really had, you know, telling the truth, Sierra Leone has worse hood stories than any place in America. And when you go to Salon, you'll see people listen. You'll see people with their arms cut off. You'll see real issues downtown by the tree that's no more. But you'll also see some of the most beautiful, some of the most luxurious people holding millions of monies like this, and nobody's doing nothing to them because you're in paradise. And it's hard if you haven't been there. But can you talk about, you know, when trying to build this genre up, what can we do as fans? What can we do as followers to help? And is this a movement where you have, like, Nelly had the St. Lunatics? In the Bay where I'm from, we had E-40 and Too Short. We're always, you know, tied together. It takes unity unless you got money like DeVito, right?
Yeah.
DeVito, shout out. But what can we do?
Like you said, unity, community, you know, that's one thing in Sierra Leone that I feel like it's not impossible. We need to just focus and just say, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're going to stick to. I feel like recently we've been waking up. I see a lot more community type events and coming together, but it needs to be in a way where people aren't scrutinized for opinions or ideas, because I feel like Sierra Leone is a little bit closed-minded. People aren't really open-minded and creative. And if you are too creative outside of their own box, then you're like an outsider. They start to criticize you and they all come in as like a bully, kind of. This needs to change. That's the main thing I feel like. If that changes, then healthy competition. It's okay to compete as long as you don't kill each other. there's always going to be a winner and a loser in life. That's life, you know, and even in the wild, there's always winners and losers. Today you win, tomorrow you might lose. So it's okay to compete, but don't hate your next man because you lost. That just means you probably lack something that he has. It's okay. Go and work on yourself and come back better. You might win the next time. That's one thing in Sierra Leone that we need to do. If we can do that, trust me, there'll be many people that will prosper. I'm saying this now, like in the next 5 to 10 years, Africa is going to have the most millionaires in the world because I've seen that we are so creative and we're hungry. We're hungry to make. It's not really just about the money alone. It's just about getting our vision out there and showing the world what we're capable of, because we've been put in one box for so long as Africans. Like, oh, you're poor, you sleep in huts, you don't have electricity, you don't have education. So I feel like our generation is tired of hearing all of that, and we're ready to prove to the world that we probably are, even if not up to there, but better than you. And we are the true creators. So Sierra Leone needs to get in that ride. We need to get into this because Nigeria is already on it. Ghana is already starting their way to it. Liberia, I feel like they're starting something. These other African countries have started, and we're still in stagnant mode. We're not moving. We're not going, doing anything. Our artists that are there aren't really focused on building themselves enough to, let me say, represent the country internationally. It's more so over like they just care about the image, not more of the branding. I feel like that's another thing. They're mistaking the image to branding. They don't really understand what true branding means, what value of your image means. They really just say whatever, post whatever, do whatever, look however. They don't really have a specific look. Like if you think of a Sierra Leone artist, you can't really pinpoint a specific look for each one if you are honest. But if you think of any other type, like Davido, Wizkid, you can think of a specific type of style or look that they always give their fans, or type of sound, whatever it is. So this is what in Sierra Leone we need to start creating, different avenues. Because it's not just about, oh, the government bad, the government is there. We know we need to help ourselves, community, come together no matter what. If one artist, you feel like this song is good, like it, share it. That one like and share might go a long way. It might end up being the like and share that has that artist blow up. You never know, you know? So that's just the one thing. We just need to close our eyes, come together as people, and support each other no matter what. If you can't post, it's okay. Just like and share. You don't have to talk about the artist. You don't have to discuss about it. But okay, maybe go and stream. Now it's streaming. It's not about buying CDs. Go and stream the song. Listen to it once or twice. Listen to one or two songs. That can go a long way for the artist, because these algorithms pick up from different types of listeners. You see? So if the algorithm knows that, oh, a big artist from this country is listening to this artist, it might push it to another level, thinking like, okay, this artist is getting some type of play. You know, that's how these algorithms work nowadays. That's all it is. And that's another thing. We're still behind in terms of streaming services like Spotify, Apple, this, that. Like most people just use Audio Mac or the free streaming services. Most big artists that I'm watching online, they only promote Audio Mac and Spotify streams. They don't really promote grounded. Like no big artist in your country should be putting available now on Audio Mac and Spotify. It doesn't work like that. It should just be this song is out. So whether it's Audio Mac, Boomplay, whatever, it should be everywhere as a distribution, not just it's available now on Spotify or Audio Mac. That doesn't work. See, so all these little details need to change in order for these big investors to actually see something in us and, you know, come into the country and make a role. We need to make these little changes first. We need to make these professional changes first. And these artists that are there now, like I'm saying, that they value image more than branding. So if you come and tell them like, bro, the way you're doing this might not work. This is what needs to be done. This is what needs to be done. They're going to look at you like, man, I've been in the game 10 years. versus me that's not been in the game, but I've been outside of the game, so I can see the whole game. You're in the game. You can't see the whole picture. I can see the whole picture because I'm looking back. And then I'm stepping into the game. So you see, it's quite different. I took my time to step back and watch the game before I go into the game. Just like soccer. I didn't just start up. I started at 18 years of age. I signed my first contract at 25. So before I even stepped into the game, I was outside of the game, always watching, always practicing, look at examples from YouTube, go to the field, practice. So it's quite different when you step into the game when you've been looking outside from it. You can see a lot of the issues that are there. So when you step in, you actually see real time what the problems are. But these artists don't want to listen. And that's the big problem here. So this is why S&M and our brand are just going to lay low and do our own thing and set an example in a way where it's not even going to be competing, because we don't want to just come and say, oh, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. No, we're just going to do our own thing in a way where you're going to catch them off guard. There's nothing they can do about it. And in turn, we'll get these new artists following us and creating their own way. We'll have distribution because that's already set up. We've had five artists that's released like each two songs on all streaming platforms. And every month they each get at least 3, 4, 5 listeners, which is pretty good because we don't promote them. This is just genuine streams that they're getting every month. So imagine if we blow up like that as a brand. These are artists that could be blowing up along West Africa and in the world, you see. So this is the type of idea that we're bringing in.
You said something key. Artists, a lot of times, don't listen. And if you don't catch them at a certain level, you can't tell them anything at the higher levels. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, big money has come through Sierra Leone. Big people have come with resources trying to do some things. Whether you talk about entertainment or other business, sometimes they come in as like a secret shopper. And Salone has totally disrespected them. And I mean, I've seen the sexual harassment. If it's a woman trying to bring in money, I've seen the bribery. But outside of that, for the things that we all can control is how we treat people. Because, you know, Salone, the men, I always tell people this, the men are the beggars in Salone. I don't get begged by the women like I get begged by the men. Hey, it's my birthday. What that mean? Hey, I'm having a baby. Was I there when you had it? Is it mine? Nah, it ain't mine, right? So what are we talking about? Like, stop. Like, you're a man. Get on your 2 feet and get on this real grind. But the thing is, people have come. And if you don't know who those people are, that's okay. But some people have felt like, the same way where I'm from in California. In the Bay, we squandered a lot of opportunities because the art, the industry has come and they've left. And like, man, them Bay cats know too much. They're fine without us. So we have to always humble ourselves and know sometimes we're amongst the investors, the people from the industry, but we don't act right. You know, the biggest artist in Sierra Leone, the team, very friendly, nice people. The artists still ain't able to give him his flowers and put them on. There's a systems thing there. And I work with one of the biggest Black YouTubers, the biggest for news, period, for Black news. But I don't have to wear that on my shoulder and say, hey, I got this. I've offered, even at, when we met, and you guys, we met at Vicky Ramone's beautiful Sierra Leone Investment Summit. If you guys can catch it in Freetown, catch it, but it was in DC.
Man, that was once in a lifetime. I was so happy to go there.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. IK was dressed like a fashion model. You know, he had man, it was all custom. But even at that event, I was trying to put on the influencers. And I had one of the ladies trying to, like, you know, sneak this behind my back, but I heard her and I saw her. And I said, the people I work with pay tens of thousands of dollars to African creators, to African creators. And you're acting like I'm trying to game your friend. And then somebody, Khadijah, was like, you're right, Kellen, because she was on the other side. She's like, you're right, Kellen. I saw so-and-so, Joe, on your show. And maybe there is like a spirit of Sierra Leone where we think too highly of ourselves. She didn't put it in them words. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like,
it's exactly what it is.
That's what it is.
The image.
Why is that? Like, where did that come from? Do you know?
All right. From what I'm observing, this is what I feel like. Again, image and branding is quite two different things. I don't understand why these people don't understand. Where I noticed this was from the artist that I signed first. I signed five artists first, four males and one female. And all they could talk about was branding and packaging. Send this money so we can buy clothes, so we can look the part. Da, 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 da. I'm like, that's not the matter right now. You need to focus on actually creating good music. Focus on your production. Like, I basically paid for the best producers in Sierra Leone to record them. Studio time, every time, have transportation, nothing to worry about, basically, how a real label should be with no investment return or I couldn't tell you if they're going to make me any money right now. Maybe they probably make me, 20 cents from how many thousands of dollars I spent. But the focus is not the money. The focus is building them as an artist and creating that image that they so long for. But the thing is, Sierra Leonean artists don't want to do the work. It's as simple as that. That's what I've noticed. They want the look. They want the statue. They want the image, but they don't want to do the work behind it. They think what they see on TV is how it goes. You just blow up all of a sudden and you get cars, you get money, and then you start looking good. You start buying cars and houses and da da da. They don't understand that behind the scenes, most of these artists have probably been with the label for years, and they've been getting taught and tutored on how to act, how to speak, how to write these lyrics, how to do this type of vibe, how to dance like this before they even step out into the main stage. They've been basically in an academy the whole time. Some of them, they have the natural raw talent and they're ready to go. But a lot of them, like Rema's and especially Marvin Records, I know that Don Jazzy takes at least a year or two to really nurture them and teach them that confidence that they need. Because being an artist in that type of level, it requires a different type of confidence and look. Like, it's not just about, I'm an artist. Like, if you look at any Sierra Leone artist, if they go to any big event, they can't really stand out. There's nothing in them, that image that makes them stand out to be like, oh, that's somebody. That's an artist. That looks like somebody. That looks like an artist. That looks like somebody from somewhere. And then they could tap on their picture to try to see who it is or go on their page. There's nothing in there that entices a normal person that's not Sierra Leonean that would recognize them. Oh, that's our artist. There's nothing like that. That's why we can't grow. They don't want to do the hard work. It takes, I wouldn't say 100% hard work, but it takes hard work in the sense is you have to get out there and actually make the move, not just your team. You can't just rely on your team. That's another thing. If they blow up on AudioMac, let's say, get 100,000 streams on AudioMac, all of a sudden they're big artists now. Now they got a team. Now they're charging for fees. Now they're they're living their life. And maybe they have Facebook followers, 20,000 followers, and they get verified. Now they're really big artists. This is the image that they have. They're verified now on Facebook. They have AudioMac streams. They're good. They don't care about nothing else. They don't care about the BMI, ASCAP publications.
There's stuff that matters.
There's stuff, little details that matters that go within the music. So when you do that all, when you do get to that level, it all comes together and brings the revenue that you've been looking for. That's why I'm saying the hard work. These little things that you have to go for it and find and figure out how to do, they don't want to do that work. They would rather just make music, release it, and work hard to get people to listen to it versus actually doing those details first. Because I believe if you have 1,000 solid fans that listen to your songs every single day, you can make good money from music, from those BMI registrations, your SoundCloud, whatever it is, SoundScan. When you register all these things, like my artists, I have them registered. So that's what I'm saying. I can see the revenue that they make is 20 cents because they don't get streams like that. But I see the proof that it works, that if you do the work, you will get money. There's money in the music industry. There's plenty of money to go around. It's just, we have to do the work. We have to open our minds and be willing to sacrifice. We can't just say, I'm an artist now. You don't have proof to show for it. There's no big artists apart from maybe K-Man and MSN and this and that. But I believe it's not purely just from music. It might just be from other ventures of business that they did that were able to give them that lifestyle. But it's, let's say, purely music, like how our brother Africans are doing right now. Yeah, some of them aren't purely music, but that's a good example. Like Asake, before he's now, you know, of course, he used to be like a dancer, brother Shaggy's manager. He used to be doing other little details. He got into the work. He was outside of the field. So he knows the little details that it takes to be that artist. So when he's really on that stage, you can really see and feel the presence of a great artist, because he's focused on the little details that's there. As an artist, if you're not focused on details, you just focused on the whole concept as a whole, it's not going to work eventually, because you can't really tap into the human emotions that you're really looking to gain. You see, Sierra Leone music right now has no emotion for me. There's no type of feeling I can get when I listen to a Sierra Leonean song, maybe one or two of them. Like, example, like an artist that should have, a label that should have blown up was KME. Their artists, all of their artists were legends for me. I loved all of their songs when I was there in Sierra Leone. LXG, Magmude, like these people had Samza, Crack Twist. I thought these people were going to take Sierra Leone international. That was my idea back then when they first came out, because I was listening to their styles, the way they blend in the Creole. I'm like, whoa, this is different. Like, it sounds so structured, but it's catchy and it's vibing. Like, but then after a couple of years, I'm seeing they start fighting each other. Basically, from what I observed, these artists felt like they've gotten too big now for the label, and the label's feeling like, no, you can't be as big as us because we signed you first and we own you. So that clash, they killed their careers. Now they're fighting for Audio Mac streams. They're fighting for, you know, what God knows what political songs or what it is. Mahmoudi could have brought us to the Afrobeat scene. He has the voice. He has the melodies. You understand? But the focus is not there. The work ethic is not there. The networking is not there. The willingness to be humble enough, because like you said, you never know who you're talking to. You could be talking to the biggest person in a company, and they're probably just a chill, low-key person. You never know. So that type of carrying yourself, your lifestyle, is what needs to change in our artists and in our creativeness and in our country. If that can change slowly but surely, because I'm sure it's not going to take a month, but if that can change, or if we can at least set an example of that, and they can point and like, wow, this is really an artist, and this is really an example of what we need to do. Maybe these big artists will step up the game and start trying to look for the answers. Yeah.
So maybe because you know something about teams. Teams make dreams, especially when you can pay them. Yep, but you had said something about how you didn't get your first contract for football till 25. Did I hear that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
That's dedication, because by then you're old.
Under the sun, under the rain, under cold, I was outside practicing. I couldn't dribble. Like when I first started at 18, this is me. I went to Africa in 2012, 2013, around 16. I came back like 2.5 years later. 2012, yeah. And then I came back around 2016. So like 2017, I don't know what. I fell in love with football before even music, because at Africa, it was just mainly football. Here is soccer. I had taken my football equipment, the American football, over there and tried to teach them how to play, but they wouldn't listen. They didn't want to play. It was like, nah, we don't want that American game. So then I fell in love with their game because I was willing to accept what they're doing. I'm like, okay, let me try something new. So I was like, wow, this is a nice sport. Came back, I said, I'm going to be a professional out of nowhere. So I just started working every day, running like 3 miles. Couldn't dribble. I couldn't juggle. I couldn't kick the ball. I couldn't pass. I couldn't control the ball. So I had like first I started with like sticks, put sticks and watch YouTube and try to figure out how to dribble in and out slowly, slowly, slowly. But everything is a process. You have to put in the work ethic. You have to be willing to sacrifice your energy. This world, if energy equals currency, to be honest, your energy equals your greatness. If you're willing to sacrifice your energy to the world, you get what you want, how you want it. You just have to be willing to give the right energy. Like, it's just as simple as that. I put in that work every single day, whether I'm sick, whether my ankle is sprained, but in a way, God always put the right people on my side at the right time when it was necessary, whether it be a lesson that I needed to learn or I needed to progress in my skills. You know, I've met people like Sheriff Suma, his brother Lamin Suma, Christian Colker. These are all people that saw something in me, saw that I was very persistent and very, you know, adamant about being somebody, while the rest of the youngins in the community were just chilling, thinking they're professionals. And, you know, because they joined one local semi-pro team, and I'm here not knowing how to play the game, but still coming and challenging myself amongst them that know how to play the game. And every day they'd be yelling at me, "Pass the ball, do this, do that," whatever, you know, I'll still be there and still feel that pressure.
How did you get an agent, or did you have to have it? Because I'm a sports agent. Like, I'm a licensed, that's one of my titles. And I've had FIFA agents on here. And to do soccer, it's not just you being good. You got to go through, yeah, it's like boxing. You got to go through some steps. Business, how did you find that?
So it was around COVID time. So I was here working my butt off every single day and saving up as much as I could and looking online for different opportunities in different countries. The first country I had went to was Lithuania. There was exchange students that came here and worked at the place where I was working, and we became friends, and I was explaining to them that I wanted to be a pro soccer player, and they basically had me go over there and do different trials. Then finding an agent, to be honest, it was just looking online and Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, until I found one in Thailand. You know, we started speaking online frequently. He would send me videos and I was sending my videos, and we just grew that relationship and trust. And honestly, like, that's the way I live my life. I risk my life with trust, because in life, before you know anybody, that's the first thing you can do is trust them, because anything can happen to anybody at any time. So that trust equals love. That's the first thing you can give to anybody is trust. Because somebody could be sitting next to you and do harm to you, but you trust them enough not to do anything, because that's why you're there with them, trust. So I trusted him enough and gave him my money. And then eventually, after the COVID, you know, calmed down a little bit, I went to Thailand, met him there. Apart from the football, we even went as far as I sponsored the team and had the label banner on the stadium. So every game day, you would see S&M's label on the banner, like, you know, the banners around, you would see S&M there. Just to kind of push that brand in a different level and a different avenue, because I felt like labels have never done something like that, put their brands on the football field, you know? So I just tried something new.
Most can't afford it, you know? Yeah. And most won't take the chance. The fact that you played and you took the chance before everybody calls you for a loan, I want you to tell them the ranges of salary at that level, because people think, oh, football, oh, everyone has a contract like Messi. Everyone has a contract like SOV, and it ain't like that.
You know, this is the first time I'm telling anyone, actually, like, that first contract was free. I signed it for free, to be honest, because that's how badly I wanted to play. That's how badly I wanted to prove that I was worth being a professional. It wasn't about the money for me, because I played in America with Spanish teams, with non-league teams, with semi-pro teams, and not been paid. I mean, and I was revered. I set records. I scored goals. So why not do it for free in a level where I can prosper, you know. It didn't go the way I wanted to, because obviously some few things, that's another thing that I learned a lesson for that in life. Doing a service for free at a certain level is not healthy. You should not devalue yourself to a level where so much as they can access you for free. It's not healthy and it's not professional. That's something I learned. But doing it for free, it was cool because of the experience, training at a pro level, scoring goals at a pro level, fans cheering you, fans reaching out to you, wanting an autograph, taking pictures with you. That was a good feeling for me. Seeing my record label banner there, like warming up before the game and the fans yelling your name. It was a different feeling and I just loved it. I would do that for free anytime again, because that feeling it gave me the feeling I needed to push my mindset, because I feel like football, without the money, most players get their happiness from the mindset of loving the game enough to sacrifice their energy, like I said, without any type of money. Those Messi monies and Ronaldo money, that comes from obviously branding and marketing yourself in a way to that level, because there's a lot of great football players out there in the world, you know, but if you don't have that certain brand or team behind you to push you to that level at an early age, you know, at a time frame, it'll be very difficult to get to that stature. But most average football players make less than $2,000 a month, to be honest.
Let that
Even
breathe,
if not
folks.
Maybe $1,000, is less than $1,000 or $2,000 if you're not at the like Division One type team. Division two, maybe 3,000, 4,000, but Division three and down, nah, is
this
not
is
good
so
money.
Important.
They
this
just,
is
they just
important.
Do it for the fun of it and trying to push themselves to get to Division two and working hard. They use that as a stepping stone, because it's just like building a resume. You know, if you go into that Division five, Division four, Division three team, your aim is to be the best in that team so that you can stand out and hopefully get an agent to push you to a Division II team, or maybe a Division II team might see you and come for you and sign you for the next season. You don't want to be there, you see, because there's no money.
Yeah. I need people to listen to your words, because I've had like professional basketball players in Africa on here too. And people have been shocked, like, wait, that's not any money to go out to Africa to play. But when you love the game, you're doing what you love, which means either you've saved enough, you already have some income, or maybe you know, there are some folks who are rich. You could be, you don't know whose son you're talking to sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful thing. I think that's what your book is you got to open up the chapter with that when you write it. Yeah. Yeah. You got to break it out with that, because, you know, people don't get it. They don't get it. When you got to do something, you got to do it. Tell the people.
No matter what, it's sacrifice. You just have to do it there. You know, there was four of us that traveled to Thailand, that joined with Ali. There was another African, his name was Saidu. Him, on the other hand, his parents have the upper hand. He lives in Atlanta, so he's able to, you know, get money and do whatever he wants. Right now, I think he's in, like, Indonesia playing a Division II league there or something. But in Thailand, he couldn't get a contract. See, so it's all about putting in that effort, because you never know where you're going to get what you want in life. You just have to keep doing it. There's another one. He was born in America, but he has Thailand parents, so he was able to speak the Thai. And another one that was from Brazil, but he lives in America. So it's all different types of people. I was the first one to sign the contract, obviously, because it was free. Now, when I signed the contract, my agent, who's the agent for all of us, told me not to tell them, because they would probably look at me some type of way, or, you know, da 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 da. So, but in their eyes, they thought that, oh, Ibrahim, you know, now he's about to be a big star. He's about to make money. He's about to, you know, they didn't understand that this was free. I could see the kind of not disappointment, but like, man, I wish that was me. Look in their eyes, and I'm like, no, you don't. If only you knew that this is what it is. Like, you see, so a lot of people in life, the grass is not green on the other side. You actually have to make the foundation for that grass to be green on any side. It doesn't matter which side it is, to be honest. Yeah.
I love that story. I'm talking about that all day. I'm just going to let you know. So when your ears are ringing, I'm talking about that, because people say one thing, but they don't mean it. They don't mean to put in the work. And then, you know, when you're getting these blessings and people are envious of you, what they don't understand, someone like yourself, is you're not even just doing this for yourself. You're talking about impacting a whole generations. So tell the people, what's a give back that you're doing or that you would like to do, because it's bigger than you.
Sure, sure. So right now, basically, we have upcoming events for this December, like an example, like Mr. and Mrs. S&M. We really just want to create, like you said, community togetherness. Yeah, it's a competition, but it's not really a competition. We just want to bring creatives out there. Apart from the contestants, we want to have a couple music artists, a couple poets, a couple motivational speakers, a couple dancers to really showcase themselves out to the community, where maybe they can start building their image, their brand for free. We also have, from January to February, I pray that, you know, I'm there to host a couple shows for free from in Freetown, Makini, Bo, Kenema, because making it free, like, you know, like I said, I've learned my lesson that sometimes free is not the best option, but you have to know when it's free and when it's not free, because free in these kind of ends, you see free, but in the way it's not so free. So we're going to label it as free, but in a way we're gaining energy, not currency, not money. Because if you gain the energy from people, you can gain the money. If people are flocking to your shows because it's free, they have the opportunity to actually go and see a big show, a big event with big artists that have probably advertised this show. Like, yeah, I'm going to be performing at this show. This is going to be a big show. It's going to be a man. Like, man, you got to come. Like, their friends are going to be telling their friends, going to be telling their friends. The whole community is going to want to go to that event to go see maybe their artists or see other artists or see whatever it is that's going to happen. So that free will impact the community to come together and create that togetherness. So even after the show, they'll still be talking with each other, bringing that togetherness, laughing with each other, telling each other the memories and stories they've had from that event. So that's really what we're planning on doing right now. In terms of signing artists, I kind of want to get to my own level first, so that I can get that revenue to take care of artists, because it's a lot of money to really market an artist and brand them from scratch without them having anything, you know. So right now, I would say, like, I just want to focus on educating people about the business side of all these entertainment industries. It's not just about the looks and the feelings and the image and the sweet videos and the sweet sounds of songs. It's about the business, learning the mathematics side, the, you know, the ethics side, the conversation side, the public speaking side, the perspective side. You know, all these things need to be worked on as individuals and then as groups. So I believe that with the motivational speakers, with the poets, with the dancers, we can kind of have the youth in our country. Because one thing I've noticed is that now in Sierra Leone, more than ever, I'm seeing a lot of youths attending concerts and events more frequently than ever. And they're willing to pay that money. You know, back then, I really wasn't seeing all of that. But now I'm seeing that these kids are growing up. And they're liking the enjoyment. They're like, they too want to fit in, like the Nigerians, like the Ghanaians. They too want to go to concerts. They too want to flash their phones. They too want to jump and sing along to lyrics. They too want to belong. So why not create events for them that can help them to belong, you know? I'm telling you, it'll be massive. Free shows, Freetown Kinema, McKinney Bowl will have specific dates, but that can build anticipation for us as a label, as a brand, as a team, that any artist that comes out of that label already has a set fan base, because that fan base follows the label, not just the artist. So whether you are this or that, as long as you come out of this label, you already have a set fan base, and then you build your fan base add on to that. That's the plan.
When you have the flyer, please send it to me directly, because I don't do social media except like the DMs, but
Okay.
I have it on auto with the team. But I want to see that, because this is the beauty of
Sure,
y'all in
sure,
Sierra
sure.
Leone. Sierra Leone, you guys has six cities. When you
Yo.
see something in Sierra Leone, and for us coming from abroad and as a citizen, you're like, okay, hold on, what's the VIP? A million Leones, man, how many of these are we getting, right? Because here in America, you can't do it like that every time you want to
Yeah.
do it. But a
Yeah.
million Leones, y'all, is like, $100, and you're gonna spend that money and you're going to be happy, because you then understand, I pay for dinner. And I've taken out numerous people, numerous whatever. I'll pay for dinner, no problem. But when you can do that, and it doesn't even, sometimes you'll pay a bill, you're like, dang, the business paid all of that. But when you're in Sierra Leone and you can pay for even more people, it lets you feel how when you see Puff Daddy buy out the bar,
Yeah.
and you're like, you can do stuff like that. I'm not buying out the bar now, because I'll give you guys some scriptures before I buy you a drink. But unless we're eating, right? But I'm gonna give you some game you can really chew on and use. But it's just a beautiful thing if you are a giver. And I think a lot of people want to give more. You just don't have it always to do,
Yeah.
especially here in America, where everything is expensive. You work, work, work. You're not able to enjoy, as we're in Salon. You're able to sit down, give me some palm wine, let me relax. I ain't got no timer. I don't need a watch, because the day is going to be what it's going to be. And I actually get to
Sure.
enjoy people while they're here. I want you, because I got to talk to you off air about something. And I don't want to give the people too much game. I want them to go to your YouTube, go to your TikTok that you put time into. The YouTube needs a little more love, but we're going to talk about that in a second. And I ain't telling you nothing. I'm offering something. But I see it. But let the people know where they can find you. Of course, your website. Give them all that game before I talk to you privately.
My website specifically as an artist, of course, you can go on YouTube and just type IKSNM and everything will pop up. On all social media, you can find me on the tag The Real IKSNM, TheReal IKSNM on all platforms. On streaming platforms, it's IKSNM. Same thing with the label. You can look on Google Skinny Nigga Music, NIQQA. You'll see everything pop up. We also have songs released under the label as like a collaboration type thing. So you can also search Skinny Nigga Music on all platforms and find the songs that are released under the label. So that's pretty much about it. It's a simple name.
You guys, yeah, got blessed with it. Check out the videos. Check them out on the rooftop with the microphone and the Bullets jersey. Ain't nothing skinny about that muscle coming out. It's just not it's just not obese, right? It's healthy. It's
Exactly.
healthy living. You guys,
You don't have to be skinny. It's just the body.
yeah. Y'all been blessed with the game. Now, as an audience, I want you guys to like it. I want you to subscribe. But even more importantly, I want you to share this game with somebody. It will change their life. Y'all be blessed.
Hello, everyone. This is Latasha Blanton from The Real South Africa Travel and Tourism. And you're going to have the opportunity to travel with Phil Scott to
sunny South Africa. You guys are going to have the opportunity to come to Johannesburg, and you guys are going to be coming to Durban. And we're going to set it up perfectly. It's going to be like a luxury experience for you guys. At the same time, you're going to be getting some culture. And of course, you're going to get an opportunity to talk to Phil, hang out with Phil, and get his views on Africa and South Africa.
You're also going to get an opportunity to explore the lifestyles here that are available in South Africa. And we're going to do all that for you in an amazing 10 days. We do hope that you go to the website and book, because we do look forward to seeing you here.
Absolutely. Our website is therealsouthafrica.com. Go there, scroll down. You'll see a picture of Phil, and just go ahead and book there. So we'll see you here in what we like to call sunny South Africa.
Are you tired of the rat race in America? Are you ready to visit the motherland to relax and rejuvenate? Are you ready to explore all that Africa has to offer? Then check out the brand new Diversified Game Academy course, Prepare for My First Trip to Africa. Are you worried about being able to afford the trip? We got you. We will show you how to travel either on a budget or as a baller. Learn how to stress the value of the USD. Did you know that 100 United States dollars is worth over 1,000 South African rand, or 10,000 Kenyan shillings, or 54,250 West African CFA? Are you worried about taking your kids? Get the game from Kellen Cash, a bona fide world traveler, having traveled to almost 20 countries, several of those in Africa. Get the game on taking your kids on their first trips. Learn how to find the best tickets, get the visas, and plan your own adventures in Africa. Don't let Eddie Murphy have all the fun. Plan your own coming to Africa trip, starring you, produced by you, and featuring you. If you are ready for a life-changing experience, sign up for our course today, Diversified Game Academy. Get prepared and purchase at diversifiedgame.com.